Yeah, good afternoon. Welcome to Taiwan Mobile's fourth quarter results release. Harvey is here, so we'll have Harvey join us on the update.
Thank you, Rosie. Good afternoon. Let me begin by giving you a market update, and then we will talk a little bit about our fourth quarter results and some of the financials. Our total subscriber number during the fourth quarter increased slightly due to a healthy sales momentum and continuous decline of the churn rate. There is a decreasing of minutes of use, and actually we have seen that phenomenon across the board for all the operators on a year-over-year basis, and because of that, I think we are also seeing a year-over-year decline in the ARPU fourth quarter. Our ARPU, however, showed the smallest decline among the big three. And when we try to compare the our performances with our peers, and we see that actually we witnessed a decelerated YOY decline in terms of revenue fourth quarter compared to the previous quarter. During the fourth quarter, we outperformed the industry in terms of service revenue year-over-year change. As a result, we further gained the market share during this quarter. On the next slide, you will see that our better retention efforts have helped to improve our postpaid churn rate down to 1.4%, which is the lowest of the year versus a 2% churn rate a year ago. Taiwan Mobile recorded a flat year-over-year change in terms of ARPM. But the minute of use decline led to a lower ARPU. Now let me turn the financials over to Rosie.
Yeah, we posted a decelerated 2% decline in service revenue year on year in the fourth quarter. It's worth mentioning that our value-added service grew 15% year over year in the fourth quarter. Due to stronger growth in messages and mobile internet revenue. Our network cost, exclusive of depreciation and amortization, remained stable with rising site OPEX offset by declining interconnection costs. At the same time, our marketing resource rationalization efforts in the fourth quarter brought down a marketing expense ratio to the lowest level during the year. So our EBITDA margin was the highest of the year. But in contrast to a sizable one-off gain booked in the third quarter, we posted higher than expected asset write-off losses of 1.37 billion in the fourth quarter, which pushed our net income down to 2.94 billion NT. That translates into an EPS of 60 cents. Compared to our original guidance, our fourth quarter revenue was slightly better than the guidance due to higher than expected minutes of use. The contained selling expense under our marketing resource rationalization efforts contributed to better than expected EBITDA. Nonetheless, our 2G asset write-off losses weighed on the net income, which was lower than our original forecast by 2%. On the balance sheet, cash together with financial assets at fair value, which were mostly money market instruments, total $26.5 billion at the end of the year, which was up by $6.9 billion in the third quarter. For our net fixed assets, the balance sheet at the end of the year remained stable as 2G assets write-off and depreciation expense offset the purchase of new telecom equipment and office. Our total debts netted $13.8 billion at the end of the year, down by roughly $1.28 billion from the previous quarter due to repayment of $1.25 billion of straight bond and the decrease in CB2 outstanding balance. Also, our short-term debt rose in the fourth quarter as more debts will mature within a year, which will mainly be the current portion of the trade bond. So we remained in a net cash position at the end of the year. On the cash flow, the decline of operating cash flow in the fourth quarter last year was primarily attributable to more cash outflows being parked into money market instruments. For cash flows from investment activities, on top of purchase of telecom equipment, CapEx related cash outflows surged due mainly to the $1.6 billion expenditure for the purchase of office building from Taiwan Fixed Network during the quarter. But we also received $3.3 billion of sales proceeds from Chunghwa Telecom ADR in the quarter for the transaction done at the end of third quarter. Our financing activity cash outflow was primarily for the debt repayment of $1.25 billion of straight bond. But at the same time, our employees' subscription of treasury shares brought in $586 million of cash during the quarter. So we continue to post a positive free cash flow of about $0.6 billion in the quarter. So let me turn this over back to Harvey for major events.
A few major events that took place during last quarter, the one that really catch most of the attention is this NCC's announcement in terms of a mandatory tariff reduction. NCC announced their decision to require that all the mobile operators reduce 4.88% on the 2G price, primarily on three areas in 2G price. One is on the prepaid services, and secondly is on fixed mobile calls, and thirdly is the price plan. Within all the postpaid price plans, the one that has the highest unit price. And this, I think, has caused a certain impact. That we made an estimate. I think basically we think that it will have roughly a 1% impact on our revenue. And then the second regulatory move that is also very significant is that NCC has been in the process of revising one of the regulations, which will allow the mobile operators owned by the same owner, by the same shareholders, be able to combine the base stations. And we expect that very soon that this regulation revision will be completed. And once they're completed, then we will have a free hand to remove some of the redundant 2G base stations in southern Taiwan, which will help us, I think, to reduce our OPEX in the future. On the product side, that in December, that we finally got approval from the relevant agencies to introduce the BlackBerry service to the Taiwan business community. We have received a lot of inquiries, and but in the very few weeks, I think there are roughly 160 corporate accounts that signed up with us, and each one, I think, have a few trial users. Right now it's roughly at 600, but we expect that number to grow quickly once they are through with this trial period. We do have the confidence most of them will continue to use it and then expand to the number by several folds. And also, I think during the quarter that we have launched the HSDPA services for DataGuard users, that is the early part of this month. On the organization side, that our former CFO, Vivian Xu, got a new appointment, and she moved to TFN as the president. And I think this is a great move for as far as women's career plan is concerned. And also, I think we view this positively because we do believe this will help to build more synergy between us and TFN. We have mentioned that on our CAPEX, there's a $1.6 billion on purchase of building. But right now, I think TFN and the TWN are co-located in the same building here in Kilo Road, and each occupies roughly half of the building. So this is a building of 19 stories, so each occupies roughly 9 stories of the building. And we have been hoping to be able to to move all our people into this building, but in exchange for that, we have to be able to get TFN to move all of these office space. But this actually is, this discussion has been going on for more than a year. And finally, I think now we get TFN to agree that they will sell the other half of the building to us, and they will vacuum the space and allow us to move our people in. Once we actually this all this move has been already took place and been completed, and this I think does help our communications across departments, and we do believe it will help our operating efficiency. And if you look at the next page, who will talk about a guidance for the quarter this year, the first quarter this year. And basically, our forecast for this quarter, both on service and revenue, as well as operating income, will follow a very similar trend that we have seen the last quarter. First quarter EBITDA margin expected to be roughly 44%, which is slightly lower than 44.5% a year ago, primarily due to a mild decline in revenue, while our fixed costs and expenses remain roughly the same. And an expected sequential dip in EBITDA margin is also a reflection of that we're going to have a stronger marketing campaign at the beginning of each year, and also, I think, during Chinese New Year, which is one of the business peak season in terms of selling new numbers of the handsets due to a lot of people are getting their bonuses during that period. For this quarter, we do not expect too much as a write-off compared to 1.3 billion last quarter and 1.5 billion first quarter. As a result, the net income will be a 5% increase. And that's the estimate for the first quarter. And lastly, I will talk about the conclusion from this morning's board meeting in terms of earnings distribution. The board meeting this morning has concluded that we will distribute the cash dividend of NT$2.60 per share. This is roughly 8% dividend yield. And, this is basically in line with what we did for last year. And again, I think this is, if we compare this to other Asian telecom operators, this is far superior. Now, let's turn to the last page, which is some of the key messages that we have that going forward. Basically, given the solid foundation that we built in the past 2 years, and our objective in 2007 is to ensure the stability of our operation. And our strategy to cement our market position, including to capitalize our success on the MyZoom Raypad strategy, so that we will be able to root deeper into each regional market in Taiwan. And secondly, that we will increase our focuses on getting quality customers and retaining existing high-quality customers. And we actually, starting in the middle of last year, we have launched an Excel customer experience program, and this is going to be at least a two-year project to make sure that we are converting this organization and converting the mindset of each of our employees into a customer-focused organization. And so this will be continued a major thing of the year for us, so that we will be able to retain all our valuable customers. And then thirdly, I think that we all know that the voice market is kind of mature and actually is on a mild declining trend. And so it's very, very important to generate more non-voice revenue. So growth in value-added services and on 3G are very, very important. And we will continue to drive growth in this area. And we also see, actually, the market is getting more readiness for it as we see more and more the varieties 3G handsets at a more affordable price. And then that we also, I think, have achieved that significantly thought in terms of channel management, and many of these are actually fairly qualitative, but we do see that we are able now to manage our the behaviors of our stores and better, and then also we are building alternative channels that so other than the traditional stores that we are using more telephones and other communication means to attract new customers to do business with us. And this is also a new approach that will differentiate ourselves from our competitors. And that's what I have, I think, for the presentation. And I will be happy to answer a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chen. Are you ready to start the Q&A section?
Yes, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chen. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. At this time, we will now begin the question and answer section. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on the telephone. If you wish to cancel this request, please press the star followed by the two. If you are using loudspeaker equipment today, please leave the handset before making your selection. Your questions will be answered in the order they are received. First question comes from Ms. Eleanor Leung, Hong Kong. Please go ahead with your question. Thank you.
Hi, thanks. I have two questions, basically. The first question is regarding the assets write-off. You don't forecast any assets write-off in first quarter 07. What's your estimate for the assets write-off for full year 2007? And the second question is regarding the effective tax rate. I saw that there's a sharp jump in effective tax rate in the first quarter, 06 to 26%. What's the full year? What's your estimate for the full year?
The asset write-off actually is a function of how much new equipment as well as the new applications we put we put to use, and also it also depends on how fast that we move on our base station, the network consolidation. So right now, I think it's kind of difficult to give you a whole year picture on the write-offs that for as a write-down. As far as the tax rate is concerned, our first quarter is roughly 25% effective tax rate in the whole year. The whole year, I think it's too close to it. Right now we estimate around 24%.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Ms. Shelley Chair. Please state your company name followed by your questions. Thank you. Hello, Ms. Shelley Chair.
Hello. Hi, it's Shelley Chair from UBS. Thanks very much for the call. I just want to follow up if you might have given a CapEx guidance just now for the full year of 2007. And also, you mentioned that you were looking for better synergies with TFN. I was wondering if you can elaborate further on that, whether there's actually going to be more bundling or cost savings or potentially integrating the two companies. And thirdly, if you can give us an update on your asset impairment loss recognition timing.
I thought we just talked about the asset impairment.
I mean when you recognize the bigger scale one. Is it?
Well, we can't give you it. We wish we know that. And the CapEx, I think Shirley will give you the numbers.
Well, on the CapEx of this year, it's roughly 6.9 billion, of which 5.2 billion will be 3G related.
As far as the good collaboration with TFN, I think we basically are looking more on the cost savings, or you can say on a better utilization of the resources from both sides. For example, right now, I think for our backhauls, I think we have something like 60%+ they are leased from TFN, and the rest are primarily still using Chunghwa Telecom. And maybe some minor percentages are using others. And TFN is talking to us how we can increase that percentages, and we are talking to them how we can reduce the rental expense. And so I think they are more active discussions than how we can achieve win-win on that. That's what I'm referring to at this point.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Mr. Franklin Fu. Please go ahead with your question. Thank you.
Hi. Thank you for taking the call. Basically, the only question I have is regarding capital reduction. Apparently, UMC just announced a big one yesterday, and the trading suspension of merely 2 weeks seems quite attractive. I just want to hear your view on this.
Well, you know, UMC, you know, given my background in TSMC, I always have a little bit suspicious when I look at everything UMC does. You have to forgive me for that. UMC is a very peculiar animal, I think. I think it's a good thing for them to do, to do this capital reduction. And for the semiconductor industry, I do think that a suspension of two-week trading is a much higher risk. For us, I think that that's not the only consideration. There are other factors that we're still looking at. And it has to do with the asset impairment and as well as with other issues. So I think it's very difficult to compare ourselves with UMC. And but certainly, I am fully aware that a lot of the institutional investors that are very interested to know that when we are going to do something on the capital management side, and we just haven't made up our mind yet. I think once we make up our mind, we will certainly let everybody know.
Thank you. The next question comes from Mr. Jimmy Chang. Please state your company name followed by your question. Thank you.
Hi, good afternoon. It's Jimmy Chang from JP Morgan. Just two quick questions. How much do you have in your unappropriated earnings account, and can this be used to boost up your dividend payment for this year in 07 if there is a shortfall in a decline in earnings? And the second question is, you mentioned synergies between Taiwan Fixed Network and Taiwan Mobile. Has there been talk about a potential merger with those two, given that, you know, the convergence and consolidation is a key theme in today's markets? Thank you.
On the unappropriated earnings, I think that one is the special provision, the other is the retained earnings that we have. I think that if we proceed as planned, that to distribute the $2.60, which I think amounts to roughly 12.8 billion NT, and that will leave the retained earning balance to be roughly slightly over 4 billion, and then we have a little over 3 billion on the special provision. Yes, these amounts can be used for cash dividend distribution if there is a shortfall on the earnings. That's the first question. And then on the TW and the TFN, I think that as you know, that TFN is not a small company as well, and they also have a fairly large capital base. So it's kind of premature right now, I think, to talk about anything specific. What we are doing right now is, first of all, to do assessment on the synergy. Hopefully we can come out with some useful conclusions and findings and decide what we're going to do next.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question comes from Mr. Danny Chu. Please state your company name followed by your question. Thank you.
Hi, Harvey. Thanks for the conference call. I got just two questions. First is, with regards to the point that the company will be driving the growth towards the 3G, I want to know is, can you elaborate a little bit more on what kind of strategies? Will it be like offering more 3G handset subsidy, or will it be the 3G tariffs being priced lower than the 2G tariffs? That's my first question. The second question is, on the BlackBerry service, is there any kind of like target or guidance on what kind of subscriber numbers you are looking for the BlackBerry service, as well as what will be kind of like the average output level? Thank you.
On the BlackBerry, basically we're looking for corporate clients. Now, of course, I think that individual users are welcome. They will not be excluded, but basically we will be focusing our marketing efforts on corporate clients. That we have already have right now 600 plus corporate clients signing up, and we really expect to have more. So by the end of the year, we should have several thousand corporate clients, and our number of users for our BlackBerry service, that should be somewhere around 20,000. I think that that's the current estimate. It's not as simple as signing up for a SIM card for the BlackBerry services, and for each of these corporate accounts, we need to do some minor integration on the IT side, so that so it takes a little bit of time. And so that's on the BlackBerry. As far as the 3G is concerned, we basically expect that during the first half this year, we will see a lot more varieties of 3G handsets to be introduced to the market at a more affordable price. And to be bundled with that. And then also, I think that we finally got some allotment of 3G numbers from NCC after a long time, application processing time. Finally, we got those numbers, and those are important, I think, for customers. They actually have more choices on the numbers. And then also, I think that this year we will be also introducing more the so-called custom-made handsets. This, I think, will also help that our customers to be able to adapt to the 3G and all these better added services faster. Last year, as you are probably aware, that in the middle of the year, we have formed a new business group called Emerging Services Group. These are actually people either to develop product on the technology front or people develop product on the commercial application front. And we combine, they used to belong to different groups, and now we pull these divisions out and form a new group. I think it is to try to foster a better communication and efficiency, and also hopefully that will also lay the better foundations and the faster turnaround time for us to be able to introduce more customer-focused products to the market.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Ms. Kathy Chen. Please state your name, followed by your question. Thank you.
Hi, this is Kathy Chen from Goldman Sachs. Thanks for the call. I have three questions. First question is regarding the comment that marketing resource rationalization was what helped improve margins in the fourth quarter. Can you elaborate more on what these marketing resource rationalization is and how sustainable that is in 2007? Second question is, can you comment generally on the market competition environment, particularly in light of the recent Rebar Group bankruptcy and potential impact to APBW? And then the last question is, do you have any guidance on potential cost savings in 2007 that can be recognized with the redundant 2G base stations?
On the cost savings from the 2G base station consolidation, we have already, I think, see some progress, but a full scale, I think, won't take place until 2008, because we have to wait until that we have the consolidation on the southern Taiwan. The estimate for the savings is in the range of 200 to 300 million, I believe, that each year on the OPEX. As far as the rationalization of our marketing activity, let me say this, that the sort of traditional marketing channels in Taiwan are, one, the open channels, second, the franchise stores, third, our own direct stores, and usually in our situation that at one time the open channel account for 30% plus of our new acquisitions. However, that these open channels also they are different players in it, and we see actually changes starting later 2005 and as well as 2006, for example, Alcoa was acquired by Far Eastern, Aurora acquired by Vivo, and we need to work with other partners, and also there are certain telecom selling companies, they have been able to get a high number of acquisitions for us, but at the same time, I think the cost of using them is also very, very high. And what we try to do is that, first of all, we try to get rid of those agents who are asking for excessive price. No, if the commission are way too excessive, that we decided that we are not going, we're going to say thank you and then we go somewhere else. And secondly is to respond to the change in on the open channel, and these different acquisitions took place, and we try to develop an alternate channels. Actually, for the year 2006, that we actually did quite well, and from the available data we have, we believe we are the mobile operator that have acquired the highest number of new customers during 2006. And starting fourth quarter, I think we are actually cutting back on some of these agents so that for our new acquisition numbers that initially they came down to the neighborhood of 90,000 per month, versus why the during the peak time is 120,000. But we believe that if we carefully pick the right customer, actually this will not affect our revenue too much, because during the peak time when we have 120,000 new customers coming in each month, but the churn rate is also relatively high, which costs drive up our bad debt expenses. And so if after, I think you can say that 18 months learning how do we deal with this situation, I think we figure that out that if we carefully select the channels, actually financially we won't be impacted, although our AQ number will reduce. And so that's what we're doing now. So that's why you're saying you see that now we have a decrease of our marketing expense. And actually for the year 2007, I think we will continue of what we are doing in fourth quarter 2006. And we are confident actually this will not too much affect our market share. And then on the competition, basically I think the market has been sort of dominated by the three players. The competition among the three, I would not say that they remain still quite keen, but we all try everything we can to try to steal customers from the other side, but we did not end up killing each other. As far as these newcomers, including APBW, is concerned, they have managed to gain some customers, but the impact has been minimal. Now, with this recent financial crisis on the Reebok Group, which certainly I think will have an impact on Ethan Broadband as well as on APBW. I think that this will cause certain operating difficulties for these companies. But as far as the overall competitive profile of the marketplace, since they were not as significant in the past, and I don't think this change in their own financial situation will have much impact to the market. At this point, we cannot see it.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Mr. Dominic Grant. Please state your company name followed by your question. Thank you.
Hello, this is Dominic from Macquarie. Thanks for the call. Just a couple of questions on the regulatory environment. The first question is, I understand that the regulations for mobile number portability may be tightened up in April. I wondered if you could just share with us any insight into what the potential impact of that would be. And my second question is, just are there any other NCC proposals that you're aware of that perhaps we're not aware of yet? Thank you.
I'm not sure about this. Let me talk about MP tightening up, and then I think you need to clarify on the second, because I'm not sure what the thing you're referring to. On the MP tightening up, we have seen that we just experienced a fine this week of $300,000 NT dollars, and basically I think NCC now, in the past that they allow D plus 4 working days, now they say it should be D plus 1 working day, but they sometimes don't just face the reality is that the one who is actually enforcing all this is MPAT. We have a sort of government-owned non-profit center that are doing this, and we got to see how they're going to bring up their efficiency first. So I think merely giving orders does not make things happen. And of course, we work with them. No, we have no problem if they can manage to make it happen. And the ones who are complaining about this are people like Weibo or ABBW. And I just don't see how people, just because that the working days will be reduced, that will, how much benefit will that bring to them? That they, one day they're going to wake up and realize that they do have their weaknesses. It's not that we're standing in the middle, won't let people MP to them. That's the MP tightening up. And I must get back to you and ask you, what is the other issue that you tried to ask me to talk about?
The other issue was just regarding the recent pricing regulations that came through the enforced tariff cuts. I'm just wondering whether, you know, the NCC have sort of notified you of any kind of monitoring period, and then if they feel that the impact of those price cuts is not sufficient, whether they'll move ahead and propose further price cuts.
I don't think that is going to happen. It's not easy to talk about this because we are talking about politics now. NCC have this illusion that they think that there is collusion among the three. And then also, to be frank, that they are not working very hard in terms of collecting data and doing the analysis. And during the past 1 to 2 months, after they sort of made the indication they're going to pose 4.8% price tariff reduction, they are a lot of conversation between the operators and the NCC officials. And then later on, also, I think other forces like the academic world, like the legislators, like the media, they all join in this. So in a way, it's a little bit messy, but also I think has exposed. I think there are certain blind spots that were not exposed to NCC. I think that NCC, after I think several rounds of negotiation and discussions, and NCC actually realized that things are not exactly what they think it is, and they have actually agreed to form a working together with the operators. So it will be a little bit more like what things like how tariff control is done. But if there's going to be any, that in the sort of more developed countries, and so we to work on a sort of a more objective model. So I don't think they are in a position to come back and say, hey, this is enough. No, we just have to cut some more. I don't see that happening. I don't think this to the benefit and to the credibility of NCC if they try to do that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. Mr. Chang, there are no further questions at this time. Please continue with any further comments you wish to make. Thank you.
Well, I think that actually this is a more live session that we had in the past several quarters. And I think we're probably going to adjourn this meeting in the next few minutes. There's no more questions. We are in late January, and then pretty soon, because Chinese New Year, we're going to become to entering into the year of the Hawk that supposed to be means more abundance than for all of us. So I just want to take this chance to wish all of you, since most of you are based in Asia, that a very prosperous new year for the year 2000 as well as for the year of the Hawk. And we'll talk to you very soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes the Taiwan Mobile 2006 fourth quarter and full year results conference call. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.